نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما، أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Wherever Allah guides, there is none that can lead Him astray, and whoever is led astray, there is no guide for Him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scatter from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strang, and every strang is in the fire. We're continuing with our reading from the book Wujubu Luzum al-Jama'ati wa Tark al-Tafarruq, the obligation of holding on to the Jama'ah and leaving off division, by Jamal Badi Hafizahullah. I just want to remind myself and the brothers and the sisters that as we continue with this topic, reasons for the Muslims dividing, we always whine and cry that the Muslims are divided and that we need to be united. But we never say why we're divided. Why are we divided? Don't just keep saying the Muslims are divided, we need to unite. You need to know why we divided. And as we covered last week, the first reason that the Shaykh mentions for division is bid'ah. And many of the Muslims, bid'ah is all on their tongues when they speak. They dressed all in bid'ah, walking around acting with bid'ah, and then they saying we're divided, we need to unite, and his tongue is dividing us, and his clothing is dividing us, and his actions and his ibadah is dividing us, and he's wondering why we divided. The next reason the Shaykh mentions, may Allah save this community from having this reason and all of the reasons that lead to the Muslims being divided, is al-jahlu, or ignorance. The Shaykh, he says, hafizahullah, when we read the book of Allah, we find that ignorance, al-jahl, it is the reason that many of the nations before have opposed their prophets alayhimus salam, and they turned away from their prophets because of ignorance. Allah Ta'ala, He says, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى جَعَلْ لَنَا إِلَهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهَا قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 138, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, they say, O Musa, make for us a god like they have gods. He said, indeed you are an ignorant people. And Allah Ta'ala, He informs us about His Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, as He is speaking to His people with this statement. وما أنا بطارد الذين آمنوا إنهم ملاقو ربهم ولكني أراكم قوما تجهلون. From Surah Hud, verse number 29, where Allah Ta'ala, He says on the tongue of Nuh alayhi salam, and I will not turn away those who believe. Indeed, they will meet their Lord. But rather, I view you all as being an ignorant people. And Allah Ta'ala, He informs about His Prophet Lut alayhi salam as He speaks to His people. As Allah Ta'ala says, as He says, أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِّن دُونِ النِّسَاءِ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ. In Surah An-Naml, verse number 55, where Allah Ta'ala, He says on the tongue of Lut, are you approaching men with a desire instead of women? Rather, you are an ignorant people. And his people, Lut's people today, are still ignorant. As some Muslims read this ayah and they say it's permissible to have homosexual relations in Islam in light of this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove ignorance from us and the rest of the Muslims. Allah Ta'ala, He says about His Prophet Salih alayhi salam as He's speaking to His people, وَأُبَلِّغُكُمْ مَا أُرْسِلْتُ بِهِ وَلَكِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ قَوْمًا تَجْهَلُونَ. In Surah Al-Ahqaf, verse number 23, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, as He's speaking on the tongue of Salih, I'm going to preach to you that which I have been sent with, but I see you all as an ignorant people. And Allah Ta'ala says about His Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam as He speaks to His people, قُلْ أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَأْمُرُونِي أَعْبُدُ أَيُّهَا الْجَاهِلُونَ. From Surah Az-Zumar, verse number 64, Allah Ta'ala says, say, is it other than Allah that you are commanding me to worship, O you ignorant people? And Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَجَهَلُونَ. From Surah Al-An'am, verse number 111, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, if we were to send angels down to them, meaning directly to them, and we would have made the dead speak to them, and we would have shown everything in the future real to them, they still wouldn't have believed, except those who Allah wills. But most of the people are ignorant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying for those people, you tell them to believe in the hereafter, they say, let the angel come tell us. The same one that told Muhammad, let him come tell us so we can believe. Or people in the graveyard right now, let them come tell us about the punishment of the grave or the pleasure of the grave. Or show us what is going to be like on Yawm al-Qiyamah right now today. If you show them all of that, they still wouldn't believe. Nah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has signs, but the people are ignorant. The Shaykh, he continues as he says, Allah Azza wa Jal, He commanded to stay away from the path of the people of the hellfire, from those who have the anger upon them and those who are astray. Those who have the anger upon them, they are those who have bad, evil intentions. They know the truth, but they turn away from the truth. And those who are astray, they are those who don't have any knowledge, so they're blindly wandering astray, and they're not guided to the truth. The Shaykh, he says in a footnote, It's well known that those who have the anger upon them are the Jews. المغضوب عليهم. And that the ضالون, or those who are astray, they are the Christians. May Allah humiliate them. That's the dua of the Shaykh. Naam, ameen. And that is in the statement of Allah Ta'ala, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. This is a refutation on all of the people of bid'ah and the people who are astray. That is because the Sirat al-Mustaqim, it is knowing the truth and practicing it. And every mubtadi' and everyone who is astray, and a mubtadi' is one who knowingly, willingly, and persistently practices bid'ah. And those who are astray, they go against this. Meaning against knowing the truth and practicing it. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, so the children of Adam, they will be correct when they have iman or belief and al-amal al-salih or righteous deeds. And nothing will keep them away from those two things except two things. Ignorance that is in opposition to knowledge, so that they will be lost and astray. And number two, following their desires and their hawa, which is in their souls. So then they will earn the anger from not practicing what they know. I want to back up for a minute, inshallah, even though we'll get to this chapter. Whenever the Muslims talk about the Muslims being successful and the Muslims being okay, you don't see them like the people of knowledge. They phrase it in what's based on Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he comes out with two things: good belief and righteous deeds. So if the Muslim ummah wants to be righteous or to be corrected, then the path is clear and simple. Get your belief in order and get your practice in order, and then we're going to be okay. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. The Shaykh, he continues as he says, it's been narrated on our Salaf al-Salih, من عبد الله بجهل أفسد أكثر مما يصلح, that whoever worships Allah on ignorance, then he will do more wrong than he will do good. And ignorance is from the biggest reasons that people fall into the haram, from kufr and fusuq and disobedience, or kufr and sin and disobedience. And from the biggest reason and the biggest type of ignorance is to say about Allah which you have no knowledge. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has made this the most serious of the haram things. And it's this highest level of shirk in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 33, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, say, the only thing that my Lord has made haram is abominable deeds, those that are done openly and those that are done secretly, and sin, and transgression without the right to do so, and committing shirk in Allah of which no one has the right to do so, and to say about Allah that which you do not know. Al-Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he says in his tafsir about this statement, وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and to say about Allah that which you do not know. He says this pertains to His beautiful names and His lofty characteristics and His actions and His law. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, the basis of shirk and kufr is to say about Allah, is speech about Allah or statement about Allah without any knowledge. And he also says, pertaining to a statement about Allah without any knowledge, he says, this is from the biggest of the haram things in Allah's eyesight. And it's the most serious sin, because indeed it entails lying on Allah and attributing to Allah that which is not befitting to His Majesty, and changing and distorting His deen, and denying that which Allah has established, and establishing that which Allah has denied, or realizing that which Allah has made false, and making false that which Allah has realized, and showing hatred and enmity to those who Allah loves or befriends, and befriending those who Allah opposes, and loving those who Allah hates, and hating those who Allah loves, and describing Allah in His person or in His attributes or in His statements or in His actions that which is not befitting to His Majesty. And there is no group from amongst those things that are haram in the sight of Allah with a more greater sin than shirk. And this is than this statement about Allah without any knowledge. And this is the basis of shirk and kufr. And bid'ah and deviance has been also based on making statements about Allah without any knowledge. So every bid'ah that leads astray in this deen, then you find its basis in the statement about Allah without any knowledge. And because of this, many of the Salaf has and the Imams, they have opposed making statements about Allah without any knowledge. And they raise their voices against the people all over the earth who do so. And they warn from this fitna of speaking about Allah without any knowledge with a serious warning. And they overdid it in warning the people against this, like they didn't warn against any of the other abominable deeds like oppression and transgression. And that is because the harm of bid'ah and the way it tries to destroy the deen is more serious than any other sin. The Shaykh, he says, and from that which also enters into this issue is establishing some of the issues of aqidah and speaking about these affairs based on sources other than Allah's book and His sunnah, like sources from logic and philosophy, and other than that from the things that have entered into Islam from the garbage or the filth of the intellect of the Greeks, and that which their corrupt intellects or minds have produced, going away from the nur or the guidance of revelation and the guidance of al-Islam, or the light of revelation and the guidance of al-Islam. And because of that, the position of the Imams of the Salaf against this type of philosophy, it was a strong, harsh position. And they opposed it in general and in detail. And they blamed the people who were involved in this. And they blamed this science of speaking from your desires too. And they warned the Muslims from it. And they gave the nasiha to stay away from it. And they know that it corrupts the deen, and it destroys the aqidah, and it takes the mind of this ummah and places it in a place that it doesn't belong. And Allah Ta'ala, He has prohibited His servants to attribute to this deen making something halal or haram from themselves without having evidence from Allah or a proof. And Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمُ الْكَذِبَ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ. From Surah An-Nahl, verse number 116, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, and don't let your tongues say a lie by the statement, this is halal and this is haram, in order to invent a lie on Allah.
Indeed, those who invent a lie on Allah will never be successful, will not be successful. And this invention of a lie on Allah Azza wa Jal is a serious issue. And it transgresses the bounds in the uluhiyya of Allah, or the lordship of, or the godship of Allah. And this is going above Allah Azza wa Jal. And in it, it leads the servants of Allah astray. And it prevents them from the true deen of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala, He says, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا لِيُضِلَّ النَّاسَ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Allah Ta'ala, He says, who is more wrong than the one who invents a lie on Allah to lead the people astray without knowledge? And Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ قَالَ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ وَلَمْ يُوحَ إِلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ وَمَنْ قَالَ سَأُنْزِلُ مِثْلَ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُو أَيْدِيهِمْ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونِ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ وَكُنْتُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهِ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Surah Al-An'am, verse number 93, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, and who is more wrong than the one who invents a lie on Allah? Or he says, revelation has been revealed to me and nothing has been revealed to him. Or the one who says, I will reveal like exactly like that which Allah reveals. And if you would see the wrongdoers when they are in the agony of death and the angels are stretching their hands out saying, let this soul come out today, he will be punished with a serious punishment from what he used to say about Allah without saying the truth, and because he was arrogant when it came to Allah's ayah. And Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَإِنَّ مِنْهُمْ لَفَرِيقًا يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالْكَذِبِ لِتَحْسَبُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَيَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. From Surah Ali Imran, verse number 78, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, and from amongst them is a group that they let their tongues say that this is from the book, so that the people will believe it's from the book, meaning they will believe it's from scripture, and it is not from revelation. And they say it's from Allah, and it is not from Allah. And they say about Allah a lie, and they know better. And likewise, there has come a serious warning for whoever invents a lie on Allah, and many ayat in the Qur'an al-Kareem. Just as we notice in many of the ayat that were revealed with arguments against the mushrikeen, against the disbelievers, and to refute their falsehood and their deviance, and to ask them to present evidences and proofs and explanation for the truthfulness of what they are called to or what they allege. As Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ فَجَعَلْتُمْ مِنْهُ حَرَامًا وَحَلَالًا قُلْ أَللَّهُ أَذِنَ لَكُمْ أَمَّ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَفْتَرُونَ. From Surah Yunus, verse number 59, where Allah Ta'ala says, say, do you see what Allah has revealed of provisions, so that you made some of it haram and some of it halal? Say, did Allah give you permission, or are you inventing a lie on Allah? And Allah Ta'ala says, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. In Surah Shura, verse number 21, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, or do they have partners that have prescribed for them a religion that Allah hasn't given permission for? And Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 111, where Allah Ta'ala says, say, Bring your proof if you are truthful. And Allah Ta'ala says, إِتُونِي بِكِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ هَذَا أَوْ أَثَارَةٍ مِّنْ عِلْمٍ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. In Surah Al-Ahqaf, verse number 4, where Allah Ta'ala says, bring me a book before this one or traces of knowledge if you are truthful. And this is the education for the Muslim, or the upbringing for the Muslim. And this is the da'wah for all of the humanity. And that is to take the truth and to search for the truth from its correct sources. And that's revelation and nothing else. And that anything that doesn't, is not, anything that is not based on evidences or proof from revelation from Allah, then indeed it is falsehood and rejected. And we turn to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us that the signs of the last hour is snatching away the knowledge and the presence of ignorance. On the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna min ashrat as-sa'ati an yurfa' al-ilmu wa yasqutu al-jahl. And this has been authentically collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, indeed from the signs of the last hour is that the knowledge will be removed and ignorance will be established. And on the authority of Abi Wa'il, قال كنت جالسا مع عبد الله وأبي موسى رضي الله عنهما فقال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن بين يدي الساعة أياما يرفع فيها العلم وينزل فيها الجهل ويكثر فيها الهرج والمرج. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, indeed before the last hour there will be days where the knowledge will be removed and ignorance will be revealed, and there will be much haraj and maraj. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that's collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, يَتَقَارَبُ الزَّمَانِ وَيَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمِ وَتَظْهُرُ الْفِتَنُ وَيَلْقَى الشُّحُ وَيَكْثَرُ الْحَرَجُ. قَالُوا وَمَا الْحَرَجُ؟ قَالَ الْقَتْلُ. And this is authentically collected by Imam Muslim, where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, the times will be made close, and the knowledge will be snatched away, and fitna will appear, and greediness and stinginess will be established, and there will be much haraj. They said, and what is haraj? He said, killing. And Ibn Hajar, he said, what is meant by this hadith? He's saying basically here, knowledge being snatched away and the ignorance being established is that basically all of the knowledge will be gone and only that which will be left will be ignorance, to the end of his statement. Allah knows best what he says. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma what is meant by the knowledge being snatched away and how it will take place. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبُضُ الْعِلْمَ انْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ وَلَكِنْ يَقْبُضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْطِ الْعُلَمَاءِ حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يُبْقِ عَالِمًا اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. In this hadith of Al-Bukhari Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, indeed Allah Ta'ala will not snatch away the knowledge by snatching it away from the servants, but the knowledge will be snatched away by dying off of the people of knowledge. Until there's no people of knowledge left, then the people will take the ignorant as their leaders, and they will make fatwas without any knowledge, and they will go astray and lead astray. Ibn Hajar, he said, the knowledge will be snatched away, He said, this means it will be taken away or wiped away from their hearts or in their minds. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spoke about this in his farewell Hajj. And Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says that this hadith, it explains that the meaning of the knowledge being snatched away in the previous hadiths, it doesn't mean that it will just simply be wiped away from the memories of the people, but rather what is meant, that the people of knowledge will die off. And then the people will take the ignorant and they will use them to make decisions, and they will make them based on their ignorance, and they will lead themselves astray and lead the people astray. And there are benefits from this hadith, and Ibn Hajar, he mentioned some of them as he says. And this hadith is an encouragement to preserve the knowledge or to memorize the knowledge, and a warning from placing the ignorant as leaders. Just want to comment here on the Sheikh statement. We did a lecture some time ago, an explanation from Fath al-Bari on this hadith that Allah will snatch the knowledge away. And I was quoting the likes of Ibn Hajar with his statement that this hadith, from the benefits, is to warn against making the ignorant leaders. And people, they accuse me of speaking against some of the leaders by quoting the likes of this statement of Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, who died over 700 years ago, or 600 years ago, 600 or 700 years ago. At any rate, this hadith, it warns from making the ignorant people leaders, as we see, unfortunately, in many of the Islamic centers and the masjids. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The Shaykh, he continues as he says, what is meant by knowledge in this hadith is Islamic knowledge based on Allah's book, or taken from Allah's book and the sunnah, not the knowledge of the dunya. And the Shaykh Yusuf Al-Wabil, he says what is meant by the knowledge here is knowledge of the Qur'an and the sunnah. And this is the knowledge that has been inherited from the Prophet alayhi salam. Because indeed the people of knowledge, they are the inheritors of the prophets. And the knowledge will go away by them going away, and the sunnah will die by them leaving, and bid'ah will be widespread, and so will ignorance. As far as the knowledge of this world, then the knowledge of this world, it will continue to increase. And this is not what is meant by the hadith. On the authority of Ziyad ibn Labid radiallahu anhu, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned something, and he said, وَذَاكَ عِنْدَ أَوَانِي ذَهَابِ الْعِلْمِ قَالَ قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَكَيْفَ يَذْهَبُ الْعِلْمَ كَيْفَ يَذْهَبُ الْعِلْمُ وَنَحْنُ نَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَنُقْرِئُهُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَيُقْرِئُهُ أَبْنَاؤُنَا أَبْنَاءَهُمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ قَالَ ثَكَلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يا ابن أم لبيد إن كنت لأراك من أفقه رجل المدينة بالمدينة أوليس هذه اليهود والنصارى يقرؤون التوراة والإنجيل لا ينتفعون مما فيهما بشيء. And this is authentically collected by Imam Ahmed and others, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that will take place when the knowledge goes away. So we said, O Messenger of Allah, and how will the knowledge go away? When we read the Quran, and we read the Quran to our children, and our children read the Quran to their children, and it will continue in that manner to Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Messenger of Allah, he said, may your mother lose her son. And this was a statement that they used to make as amazement, not that they make in dua against them. Nah. He says, I used to see you as the most knowledgeable person here in Medina. Aren't you aware that the Jews and the Christians, they read the Torah and the Injil, and they don't benefit by it at all? And on the authority of Abu Umam al-Bahili, radiallahu anhu, he said, When it was the farewell Hajj of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was riding there with Al-Fadl ibn Abbas on the camel, he said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ خُذُوا مِنَ الْعِلْمِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُقْبِضَ الْعِلْمِ وَقَبْلَ أَنْ يُرْفَعَ الْعِلْمِ وَقَدْ كَانَ أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِنْ تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ وَإِنْ تَسْأَلُوا عَنْهَا حِينَ يُنَزَّلُ الْقُرْآنُ تُبْدَ لَكُمْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهَا وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ حَلِيمٌ قَالَ فَكُنَّا نَذْكُرُهَا كَثِيرًا just bring this translation of that. That's Allah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O humanity, take from the knowledge before the knowledge is snatched away and before the knowledge is removed. And Allah Azza wa Jalla had revealed, O you who believe, don't ask about things that if it were made clear to you, it would harm you. Indeed, if you ask about something when the Quran is being revealed, it will be made clear to you. Allah has pardoned you. Pardon it, and Allah is Ghafurun Haleem. He said, so we used to remember this a lot in our questioning, and we used to be aware to stay away from that. When Allah had revealed to His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, He said that I came to a desert Arab. And I met him there, and I asked him to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, O Prophet of Allah, how will the knowledge be removed from us when we have the masahif, or the Qur'ans right here, in our midst? And we learn it, what's in it, and we teach it to our wives and our children and our servants. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raised his head up, and his face was red with anger. And then he said, أي ثكلتك أمك وهذه اليهود والنصارى بين أظهرهم المصاحف لم يصبحوا يتعلقوا بحرف مما جاءت به أنبياؤهم ألا وإن من ذهاب العلم أن يذهب حملته ثلاث مرات. And this is collected by Imam Ahmad. The Messenger of Allah said, may your mother lose her son. Indeed, the Jews and the Christians, they have their book right in their midst. But they are not practicing any of one letter of it, what has come to them from their prophets. Indeed, the removal of knowledge is by the removal of the people of knowledge. Ibn Hajar, he says, in the hadith of Abu Umama is benefit, and that is that the books will remain, but the knowledge will be gone. The books of revelation will remain, but the knowledge will be removed by the dying off of the people of knowledge. So the one who is not from the people of knowledge won't benefit from the books of revelation at all. And in this, it's important to know that the knowledge should be taken from the people of knowledge. And most of the people from the students of knowledge today don't do the way they do, by reading the books of Revelation by themselves, and then they come out with their own strange positions and their deviant ideas and their distorted outlook. The Shaykh continues as he says, we're skipping a little part, as he goes on into explaining that hadith in detail. At any rate, the Shaykh, he continues as he says, and what Ibn Hajar has mentioned and taking a look at all of the hadiths, he says, that a lack in the knowledge in the hadith, what it means here is that the knowledge will slowly go away and the ignorance will slowly spread until the people will not even know the basic obligations of al-Islam, until the ignorance will lead them to be completely ignorant of al-Islam. So they wouldn't even know anything about Islam except to say, La ilaha illallah. I don't know, I guess the Shaykh wasn't living today. Some of the Muslims can't even say that. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. All of this has come in the text of the hadith of Hudhayfah ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu, that Ibn Hajr has motioned to before. And the text of the hadith of Hudhayfah radiallahu anhu, as the Messenger of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the hadith it translates, it's collected authentically by Ibn Majah, that Islam will wear out just like a piece of clothing, until a Muslim or a person will not know anything about fasting or salat or the rites of worship or slaughtering or sadaqah. And then the book of Allah will be taken away in a night, and there won't remain any ayat on the earth. And a group of the people will remain from the older men and the older women, and they will say, we found our fathers on this word, La ilaha illallah, so we say it. So Sila, this is someone's name, he said, that statement, La ilaha illallah, will not benefit them at all. And they don't know anything about salat, and anything about fasting, and anything about slaughtering, and anything about sadaqah. So Hudhayfah turned away from him, and he said that statement three times. Every time Hudhayfah turned away from him, and he faced him on the third time, and he said, Ya Sila, it will save them from the fire. It will save them from the fire. It will save them from the fire. Meaning their statement, La ilaha illallah. I just want to add that Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani, he uses this hadith as one of the main hadiths of his book to show that a Muslim who leaves off salah, though he understands its obligation, that he is still a Muslim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Shaykh, he continues as he says, ignorance is from the major reasons of going astray from the truth and rejecting the truth and being far away from the truth. And it is from the most serious reasons that leads to differencing of an opinion and division. And oppression and ignorance is the basis of all evil. And knowledge and justice is the basis of all good. And ignorance, it's divided into different categories. And the ulama, they've taken many paths in explaining this. So amongst them are those who say that there is a basic ignorance, and then there's a bigger ignorance. Depending on the person who's ignorant himself. And there are those who say that not practicing the knowledge that you have is also called ignorance. Like Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, ignorance is two types. Having knowledge of the truth or beneficial knowledge of the truth, and not having actions that are in accordance with that knowledge. Both of these are considered English. Both of these are considered ignorance in the linguistical sense, in the customs of the people, in the Islamic sense, and in reality, both of these are ignorance. Then he explains the reason that the one who doesn't practice what he knows, why it's called ignorance. He says, the one who doesn't practice the knowledge that he has is ignorant, either because he doesn't benefit from his knowledge, or so that he becomes on the same level as the person who is ignorant, or because his evil, ignorant intentions, or because of his ignorance of the evil consequences of what he does. And then he uses as evidence that the Sahaba have an ijma' that whoever disobeys Allah, then he is ignorant. I put a comment in my book here before. Either we don't know about this statement of Ibn Qayyim and the Sahaba, that whoever disobeys Allah is ignorance. Either that's the case, or we love to listen to the ignorant. And I put that because it becomes widespread, unfortunately, here in America, where many of the people who speak and teach Islam, that they've become drowning in the kaba'ir, and that people love to hear from them. Maybe we don't know that that's ignorance too. Wallahu a'lam. Ignorance and deviance are the reason for taking your judgments to other than Islamic law, or to make other than the Quran and the Sunnah a basis for your laws and your aqidah and the sharia and in your character and other than that. And it's well known that everything other than the Islamic law is going to be weighed, and it is not a scale. And it's going to be judged, and it is not a judge. And because of it, many of the Sufis, or the people of At-Tasawwuf, that they are astray and in bid'ah and in deviance. And that is because they use as their judge their taste and their dreams and other things that they have. I think we had mentioned before that the Sufis, they say that taste for me, and I was taking it and spending it for Allah's cause. You know, something like that. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And they have other than that, as I mentioned before in the past, that one of them, they said, I saw in a dream that the Prophet ﷺ spoke to me. And he said that there will be a man who will come 1400 years after me. Whoever sees that man, then follow him. He will be in Tuba, so Tuba to whoever follows him. Tuba is the city of Senegal. Nah. And the sheikh that was quoting the hadith says that it refers to him. And the hadith is mawdu', of course. At any rate, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, this is the deviance, or this is the way that people deviate from the straight path, by placing their taste as a, making their taste as a judge. And then they make something permissible or prohibited based on their taste. Or they make something correct or incorrect based on their taste. Or they make something truth or falsehood based on their taste. And because of it, they turn away real knowledge in the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, and they use their taste and their dreams and what have you instead. And ignorance, it stems from a bad understanding or not a pure intention. And this is what the explanation, the sharih of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah, he says when he says, A bad understanding about Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the basis of all bid'ah and deviance that has spread in Islam. And it is the basis for every wrong in the furu' and the usul. Especially when you have a bad intention along with a bad understanding. Then he goes on to say some other things, of which he says, a bad understanding could be the reason for not seeking, or could be the reason that you don't seek beneficial knowledge. And it could be the reason that you have doubts. As in the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah about the spread of bid'ah amongst many of the people who are not munafiqs, nor do they have a bad intention. And that is because much of the bid'ah spreads amongst the people who are not munafiqs because they have a type of doubt or an ignorance that is mixed with their desires, so they accept deviance, and this is the basis of all falsehood. No. May Allah increase us in knowledge. And he says in his debate with one of these scholars, indeed, because of his ignorance, he has no experience with using Islamic knowledge or Islamic evidences and proofs, that which will establish the basis of verdicts in Islam. And he has no experience with the statements of the people of knowledge, those who are the imams of Islam. And this ignorance could be an ignorance to understanding the reasons behind or the intent behind the Sharia or something like that, or being ignorant to the tools of what will be used to understand the intent behind the Sharia, as Ash-Shatibi says, rahimahullah. And he emphasized the importance of learning the Arabic language, and that the Sharia of al-Islam, it came by medium of the Arabic language. So by understanding the Arabic language, you understand the Sharia. And Ash-Shatibi, he says, from the reasons that the Khawarij had went astray was because of their ignorance of the maqasid al-Sharia, or the intents behind the Sharia. And their guessing about meanings without clear knowledge. And they're taking their own outlook first. And that's because of that, the Prophet ﷺ, he described them with reading the Qur'an but not going past their collarbones. Here that just means that not everybody who reads Revelation understands what the Revelation means. No. And the only way to understand it is by way of the people of knowledge who narrate to you, and the people of knowledge back to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from the ignorance of the tools that will help you understand this deen is ignorance of mustalah hadith, and ignorance of the different levels of hadith, so that which will help you know what is sahih from da'if, and that which can be used as proof and basis, and that which can't be. And because of it, many of the people of deviance and bid'ah, they fall into their deviance and bid'ah as a result of basing their positions on fabricated hadiths and da'if hadiths in the aqidah and in the ibadah and in other Islamic verdicts. And from amongst the people, the modern people who took another way in describing ignorance, and that is the quality and the quantity, as one of the authors, they said, ignorance could be a deficiency in knowledge, and ignorance can be in the absence of beneficial knowledge. And Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns against both of them. And the end result, or he commented on this by saying, the truth is that simply not having knowledge is not to be blamed in every case, except if he doesn't have the knowledge that must be sought by every Muslim. And then the Shaykh, he says, this last statement, it's important to mention it or to focus on it. And that is that it's for every Muslim to learn the affairs of his deen, that which he is responsible for, or that which are the very basis of this deen of Islam or something like that. And most of the Muslims today, they pay more attention to the affairs of the dunya and the sciences, and they are heedless to the affairs of the hereafter and that which will lead them to the hereafter from beneficial knowledge. And Allah Ta'ala, He blames them with His statement, وَعْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. From Surah Ar-Rum, verses 6 and 7, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, the promise of Allah, and Allah does not break His promise, but most of the people do not know. They only know what is apparent from this life, and they are heedless of the hereafter. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُبْغِدُ كُلَّ عَالِمٍ بِالدُّنْيَا جَاهِلٍ بِالْآخِرَةِ. And this is from the Sahih al-Jami al-Saghir, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, indeed Allah Ta'ala hates everyone who is knowledgeable of the worldly affairs, ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter. So the Shaykh, he says, so knowledge is the opposite of ignorance, and it is the beneficial, knowledge is the beneficial cure of ignorance. And many texts from the Kitab and the Sunnah encourage us to seek knowledge and praises the people of knowledge and mentions their virtues and the beautiful results of seeking this knowledge. And we have a whole chapter in this book based on that. And this is the end of what the Shaykh wanted to present from this section. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. I just wanted to comment real briefly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows best. But it appears in our area that we say that the Muslims in our area, we need to get together. I'm bearing witness that one of the reasons why we're divided is because of the ignorance. You walk into the masjids in this area and you don't find them quoting Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the khutbahs. And then there's no lessons teaching the people Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a masjid goes a month, in a year, in years, with no education of Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can the Muslims of that masjid be united with the Muslims? They don't have anything in common except the statement La ilaha illallah. And so long as they don't open their mouths, and so long as they don't talk or move or do anything, you'll find they're united. Soon as he makes the takbir, you find they're divided, because he doesn't know the importance of having a sutra, because he hasn't been taught. And then when you call him that the Messenger of Allah والسلام, teaches us, commands us to have a sutra when you make the salat, then there's a fight. Because when you are ignorant of something, you fight against it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge so that we may be united and not divided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if there were any comments or questions on this point. No.
نعم. At least he had an argument, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. نعم. Brother was just saying that he had a discussion with someone, warning him about the seriousness of riba. And he said that the ayah of riba was revealed in the last days of the Prophet's life, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we don't know much about riba. Now, I'll agree with him on that. Now, we don't know much about it. But we do know it's haram. Now, وَحَرَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَا. Allah has made buying and selling permissible in riba haram. At least we know that much about it. So you know you're supposed to leave it alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. No. I don't know if there was anything else. And anyway, these are two reasons that we've covered so far on why the Muslims are divided. Number one, bid'ah. And number two, ignorance. So whenever you see the Muslims practicing bid'ah, you know why we're divided. Whenever you see the Muslims ignorant and not trying to learn their deen, then you know why we're divided. And then we're going to continue, inshallah ta'ala, if we don't take this next chapter. I'm going to continue with another reason for division, which is following your own desires and then using your intellect instead of the kitab and the sunnah as a basis for this deen. This is what we have time to present here this evening. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillah.